Dear Lord, I thank you for being in our midst. I thank you for being here with us. I thank you for always being with us. And Lord, I thank you that you hear our prayers and you relate to us your word. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to us today. Help us to do all that's in your heart. Help us to hear your word that we may fulfill your will in our lives. Help us to go forward. Help us to be sensitive, extra sensitive to the Holy Spirit in every way. Full of the love of God, full of the holiness of God, full of the wisdom of God, enjoying your peace. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Apostle. I want to welcome all of you that are online, and we just want to praise and thank God for another teaching. Today we won't be teaching on discerning the Lord's body, but we will be teaching on the blood. I'm going to give a quick review on discerning the Lord's body. You know, as we, before I do that, let me do a little house announcement. Please put your phone on silent. Please mute your phones. Everyone. And we won't have questions today because there's so much to teach. And make sure you have your elements ready to take communion at the end of the teaching, because that's what we will be doing. Now, I'm going to give a quick review on discerning the Lord's body. We hadn't finished, we have not finished that teaching, but let me give you a review on it. In discerning the Lord's body, we start that off from Corinthians, when Paul said many sleep, many die premature because they don't discern the Lord's body. So we have been discerning the Lord's body. And one thing we found out, the church was in the wrong place. They were outside with the ones that was crucifying Christ. And the ones that were crucifying Christ, one of them asked, where is God? He said, Jesus hanging on the cross said he was the Son of God. And it looked like he really needed God right then. And so one of the people asked, where was God? And Paul gave us that answer in 2 Corinthians 5 and 19. He said God was in Christ, reconciling the world back to him. And that was his location. Now, the Roman soldiers, they were outside, but God was busy on the inside doing a work for us. He was reconciling not just us, but the world back to him. And we said that the world just didn't have a problem in the flesh, but it also had a problem in the spirit. They were separated from the fellowship of God. And God was working on the inside. He did not leave our salvation in the hands of the Roman soldiers. Many try to get you to believe that that's where our hands were, in the Roman soldiers. But Paul said, no, it wasn't. It was God working on the inside, laying on Jesus' spirit our sicknesses, everything that we needed to complete our salvation. God was busy on the inside. He was there present at the cross. He was there. They couldn't see him because he was the invisible God. But Isaiah let us in on the inside. Peter let us in on the inside. And Paul let us in on the inside through the word of God and showed us what God was doing. And we're not going to go any further in that. I want to deal with the blood today. Because as I, you know, saw the passion of the Christ, and I know many of you on the line probably saw the passion of Christ, it still put the church in the wrong place of the blood. Today we're going to just find out where he really shedded his blood for us. I mean, the passion of the Christ had it real bloody. I mean, blood was just everywhere. But it says that Jesus shed his blood on the cross, on Calvary. Now, the blood is very important because the blood of Jesus secured for us on the cross everything we needed for life. It secured that. Now, one of the things I like about Paul, he had a revelation of the cross because he knew that everything is birthed through the cross. So he got a very good revelation of the cross, what took place. And we need to get that revelation of what really took place because, like I said, everything is birthed through that. And if you got a good good revelation of that, you're going to be very successful in your ministry. Paul experienced so much success in his ministry. He understood the cross so much. He said, "And I'm crucified with Christ." Not only that, he said, "Christ in me lives." And he told us about the life he lives now because of the cross. So if we get that really good revelation of the cross, it really going to help us in our walk with the Lord. We certainly need a deeper revelation of the blood. It's what we're going to be studying, the blood of Jesus, where it was shed. Now, when you get this deeper revelation of the blood of Jesus on the cross, you're going to live a deeper life. The blood is so important. It runs from Genesis to Revelation. You'll never get away from the blood. Thank God for the blood. Praise God. We know the Old Testament witnessed the shed of animal blood. But the New Testament, we are experiencing the power of Jesus' blood and how to use it dealing with our everyday life. Everyday life. You know, the cross is so important to us because on the cross, it was where Jesus declared that sickness is illegal. And if you, when, I know you said, well, Mary's still operating in my body. You know, we live in a state, like I told you last week, where a lot of things are illegal, but they still operate. But when you agree with what happened on that cross and have a good revelation of it, when it comes in your body, you're going to say, "Illegal, get out." And you're going to keep on till you get it out of your body. He declared it to be illegal. Now, we're going to talk about the blood and exactly where the blood was shed. So we can benefit. Now, one of the things of the enemy, he tried hard to get the body of Christ not to understand the cross. And you said, "Well, Sister Mary, I understand it. I understand it very well. I know that's where Jesus paid for my sins." But no, we need to go deeper. We need to understand it because everything is birthed through the cross. So we're going to get a deeper understanding of the blood today and where it was shed. Because where like I said, the Passion of the Christ had it shed. That wasn't all that bloody. Wasn't for us. But we're going to go to the scripture. And one of the things we're going to get was where that precious blood of Jesus, where it was shed and why it was shed in that particular place. Just a minute. Had to get a little water there. Okay, we're going to see why it had to be shed in that place. So let's go to John 19. If you have your Bibles, go with me. John, the 19th chapter. Let's see. Let's start at the 19th and the 31st. I'm trying to watch my time here. It reads, and I'm reading from the King James, and I don't have any problem with any of the other, Bible translations. I use them all. But today I'm reading from the King James. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation, this is from the 31st verse, that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, but that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and break the legs of the first.
And hey, on the hello?
Just come on in. We already in the lesson. Just come on in and silence your phone. Put your phone on mute. We're talking about the blood of Jesus today. And where it was shed. We're at the cross. John 19 and 32.
Okay.
Then came the soldiers and break the legs and of others which was crucified with him. But they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already. They break not his legs. One of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. Now, one of the soldiers, after they seen that, hey, Jesus is dead, but this soldier said for me to report back to Pilate, I better make sure Jesus is dead. Because we're talking about Jesus that raised people from the dead. So this soldier's being very careful to make sure that he's really dead. So what does this soldier do? He takes a spear and pierced his side. And forthwith means that it came out full. It just blowed out. Came out. There came out blood and water. Now that is where I know you get taught that the blood was shed in seven different places. In the garden, it started in the garden but that wasn't shed for you. That what he was dealing with in the garden was for himself. Him and God was dealing, he was dealing with the Father for himself. Now that blood that was shed on Calvary is located here. It says, forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bear record. Now he didn't bear record of any other blood that was, I'm not going to say shed. Because this is where it was shed at. Any other blood scene. Like I said, the Passion of Christ had everything very bloody. That you couldn't see the truth of where the blood was really shed. And know it. Now, who is he talking about? The he that he's talking about is John. John was there with Jesus' mother. Because in another gospel, it says that the one that Jesus loved was standing by his mom. And from that day on, when he told his mom to behold him, and he talked with that disciple, said, John, that disciple took his mom home and took care of her from then on. But this is the disciple. John said, I was there. And he didn't bear no record of no other time. That they said in the garden, that they said that he got on his back, that they said that was in his hand, in his feet. All the seven places that they said that the blood was shed for you. John said, I don't bear no record, but this place right here is where the blood was shed for you. He said, the 35th verse said, and he that saw it, he said, I saw it. I was there. I saw it. And I bear record. And his record is true. And he knoweth that he said it true, that he might believe. For these things was done that the scripture should be fulfilled. Now John said, I was there, I saw it, and the spirit that was on me bear record when I seen the blood and water. Now that's not a combination that you really see together, but John said, I saw the blood, I saw the water coming from his side. And I'm going to read from John, the Epistle of John, where he recorded over there too. But before I go there, I just want to put a pause. Let's just pause it here. Now, this is what the last Adam is doing. Jesus is called the last Adam. I just want to pause it right here and go back to Genesis. Well, the first Adam, and we want to start out with the first Adam here. The first Adam was put to sleep. And out of his side was taken a rib. But people of God, in the second Adam here, out of his side came forth blood and water. People, we didn't need a rib again. We needed some blood to take away our sins. We needed the water. We needed blood. Now, this blood and water, I like how Paul states it. He said, it created not woman like the first Adam took out of the rib on the side. Out on the side here, it said it created a new man, one that has never existed before, one without sin, because we lived in humanity in a world where all had sinned, because nobody in there said they had not sinned. But out of the side, now the reason the enemy don't want you to see exactly where that blood came from that Jesus shed on Calvary, because it defeats him. But if you know that the second Adam, Jesus, on the cross, it came out of his side, the blood and the water, and it was indication of a new creation. It's not Eve again, but it's a new creation. It's a new creature that never been before. It's a creature that got the life of God in him. See, what we're getting is God's life. We're getting Jesus' life, not our life. Paul said, any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He's a new creation. And we see this new creation coming out of his side. John said, I witnessed that. And that blood and that water that came out in that record. Now, their record is not the way we talk. We said, testified. It gave a testimony. It testified. And John said, it was true. And I know it. I saw it. And I believed. He said, I wrote about it in the book of, in the epistle of John, he wrote about it. He said he was an eyewitness of this. And he made no remarks of any other place that the blood came out but this place. He said, this place, this is where it was shed for our sins. The blood of Jesus is so powerful. Now let's go to, getting out of my time here. Okay, let's go to the epistle, John. The first epistle of John in the 5th chapter. And let's go to, let's see, the 8th verse. The 8th verse says, and there are three that bear witness in earth, the spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. And John is saying here, he said, if we receive the witness of man, the witness of God is greater because he has more authority. Now, the reason, let me back up here and say, the reason that he needed a witness, someone to testify, because whether we know it or not, Jesus was on trial. Dealing with two kingdoms, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. Now, it's very important that he have the witness, even for us, the testimony. He said, these three, they are testifying. And the reason you have to have two or three, can you please silence your phone? The reason we having to have two or three witnesses, because it was a law, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Every word. And John said, I witnessed the blood there that was shed. I witnessed the water that was shed. And it tells us that we are overcomers. We overcame him. And what him we're talking about, we're talking about the devil. We overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So these three was testifying. They were bearing witness. They all agree as one. They all agreed on what they saw there. Now, they were testifying now. But for us to overcome him, we've got to testify. We got to say what these three witnesses were saying. They testified. They said, we have the evidence here.